Great job, kiddos. Great job.
Yep, I'm over here.
Thank you, Claire and team. That was awesome. All right. Good to see you guys. As they are filing out, I know we have some guests and visitors. Really glad you're here. And want to explain why we're talking about what we're talking about today. So in our church, since last Easter, we started going through the book of Mark. That's one of the four accounts in the Bible of Jesus' life. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each has an account of Jesus' life and then his death and resurrection. And we started with Mark 1, verse 1, right at the very beginning of Mark on Easter. And we have just went through in order all the way up to the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We had made it through 10 chapters out of the 16 chapters in Mark. And then we skipped to chapter 13, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Chapter 13 is Jesus giving his longest message that's recorded in Mark. What he's talking about is what is coming. He's talking to his disciples about what is coming for Jerusalem, the city that they're living in at the time, and also for what is coming for all of humanity at the end of the age. He's saying, this is what is coming. And in the church calendar, the Sunday after Christmas or December 1, somewhere in that range, you start the season of Advent. And Advent literally means arrival. And what Advent has been seen is we are preparing. It is a season of preparing, of getting ready. And so part of what we get ready for is we get ready to be able to celebrate how Jesus came. We celebrate his coming the first time. But Advent historically has always also been you get ready for the fact that he is coming again. And that whether he comes again 1,000 years from now or tomorrow, he's coming for you at some point, and you and I, we'll have to give an account. And so this is a season, and Mark 13 is verses that help us get ready. How do we get ready for his coming when he comes? In that light, let me read. We're finishing out Mark 13 with 6 verses, and I'm reading those now. But about the day or hour, this is Jesus talking, by the way. But about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So, in order to better understand these 6 verses, I'm just going to talk a little bit quickly about what we've talked about the last 3 weeks, what was leading up to what Jesus just said in Mark 13. First of all, the thing that prompted him to have the conversation at all about what was coming is that his disciples were saying they're at the temple, which is one of the ancient wonders of the world, considered in the Roman Empire the most incredible building in the entire Roman Empire at the time. And they're saying, isn't this awesome? Isn't this impressive? Isn't this cool? And he's saying, it's not even going to last. It's all going down. And they say, well, what are the signs? How will we know? What does this look like? What's coming in this? And Jesus then proceeds to talk about, from my opinion, what's coming for Jerusalem, and that already happened in 70 AD, it was wiped out, and what's coming at the end of the age when he comes again. He weaves both things in. And there's a Greek word that's translated watch out once or be on your guard three other times. And each week what we've talked about, that's in there somewhere. So in the first week he says, watch out, don't be deceived, be ready. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be kingdoms against kingdoms. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines and earthquakes and natural disasters. And those things are going to increase over time. They're the beginning of birth pangs before a new heaven and a new earth is birthed. He doesn't say that right here, but that's what we know from other parts of the Bible. But get ready, watch out, be on guard, because this is going to happen. And you're going to be able to see it all around you in what's happening in governments and what's happening in the natural world. You're going to be able to see all of that. So watch out and get ready. And then the next week, he starts right away. You must be on guard. And he's talking to the disciples right around him. He's talking to the people who are loyal to him, who are with him, because they're going to go out in his name now. And he's saying, you're going to get all kinds of resistance. It's going to come from religious people. It's going to come from governmental people. It's going to come from your own families. But the gospel must be preached in all nations first. The good news of who God is, of what he offers, of how he's come for us must be made known to all people groups. That's what I'm charging you with, he's talking to these people. And you're going to find resistance, but that is your purpose. You are living on purpose to make God's goodness known in the world. To whatever people groups you're around, it's still a message to us today. You can make God known. So be ready. It's going to be resistance, but there's also a promise. You live on purpose. You have this promise that he will be with you, that he will give you what you need by his Spirit. And as he does, those who stand firm to the end will be saved. You're going to have to persevere. But if you live on purpose, you have a promise of me being with you, and then you can persevere even though it is going to be hard. And then last week, what we talked about is he went on two tracks. And he said, I have told you what's coming, so be on guard. Be ready. Watch out. Because what's going to happen for Jerusalem is awful. After the sermon last week, somebody texted me later that day. They said they went and researched what happened in Jerusalem in 70 AD and the events leading up to 70 AD. And they're like, it's the intensity of the Holocaust. It's awful, awful. And it is. And that's why Jesus was doing this. But after that, he says, here's what else is coming. So that happened. The things he was talking about there happened. But he says, the Son of Man is going to come in power on the clouds. And as it says in several other places, to judge the living and the dead. Everyone will give an account. So you better be ready. He is coming with angels. He is coming to make all things right. He is coming to bring justice. It will happen. And whether we die before he comes back or whether we're here when he comes back, everyone will give an account. So be ready. Now, in light of that, Adam, we're going to go back through the scripture one more time. In light of that, this is what Jesus says next. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And now, pay attention. How many ways is he trying to say, stay awake, be alert, be on guard, be ready, watch. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Let me give you an illustration. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. If we believe in Jesus, we have our assigned tasks because we're supposed to live on purpose to make him known, to make his goodness known, to make his love known. So we have our assigned task and one's at the door to say, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. What I say to you, he's talking to disciples right here, I say to everyone, including us here today. Watch. So, now we'll go to those other slides, Adam, to summarize. Watch. Then Jesus says, be on your guard. Then he says, be alert. Then he says, don't be found sleeping. And three times he says, watch, watch. And then he says, keep watching, keep watch, watch and keep watching. To be ready when we have to give account, his thing that he said to them, that he says to us, that he says to everyone is watch, stay awake, be awake, be alert, be pay attention, watch. And so a question that seems worth asking in light of Jesus saying this, if we want to be ready, is what are we watching? What are we watching? If we go to the next slide, I mean, we're watching. We got email, we got texts, we got Snapchat, we got stuff coming in. We got social media, we're watching a lot of that now. We should. Some of us are, it's about our jobs. It's what we got to do. But how much are we doing? And how much of what we're watching and the way we're watching in this realm helps get us ready, helps keep us awake, helps us stay alert, helps us pay attention to God, to live on purpose, to make him known, to stay connected with him. You know, I was going to go out for a walk with my dogs yesterday. And I went out, and I'm the only one home, and I take three steps out, and I was like, whoa, wait, I gotta get this. I mean, I can't go for a walk on my own property around without this, right? I gotta stay connected. Somebody might text me, somebody might call me. I gotta stay connected, right? You leave, you're driving away, I forgot my phone. There was a time when these things were not around, right? I don't know how that worked, you know? My parents couldn't spy on me where I was at and everything. Not that we ever, never. Anyway. But here's what Jesus says. He says, remain in me. Stay connected to me. And you will bear fruit. And it'll be fruit that lasts. If you don't stay connected to me, it won't last. And we are way more concerned about staying connected to, I don't know what, that stuff. Making sure we're available all the time. But we're not very available here. Now, what else do we watch? I mean, there's a lot of this. And it's very, you get to the end of the episode, and it's like, just one more. The funny videos, and again, that's okay. We're watching different things. But how much of what we're watching and taking in helps us be ready, helps us stay connected to him, helps us to live on purpose, helps us to be motivated to be like, I want to go connect with people. I want to go bless people. I just want to sit out and veg, and my soul is getting sleepy. And I rarely get done watching something with more energy than when I sat down. Even though I sat down because I'm tired and I want to rest. How about this? Some of us are watching a lot of this if we go to the next slide. Now this will bring peace on earth. Totally motivated because we will watch longer, we will click on more things if it'll make us angry or if it'll make us anxious. And so, but we got to stay connected to what's going on in the world. Well, that is true. I'm a political science major, news junkie. But it's not good for my soul to stay on it too much. It's especially not good for my soul to pick a side and just stay there. And that's all I get. Because then I hate people over there. Which way, am I right or left? It depends. My right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually independent. Okay, so now I've just offended some of you that way. It's impossible. Impossible. We need to move on. Before I move on, I mean, I could have done things like the gaming or the video gaming. We could have put a bunch of that kind of stuff because we're watching that. I could have put like the shopping links and all of that. There's other things I could have put on. I couldn't put on here in church, but if we are honest about what we are watching, based on what a number of you tell me, porn. Some of you are, You're trying to break free, or you're trying to stay free from that. We gotta pay attention to what we're watching, because Jesus says, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch, be alert, get ready. But I've picked another area. I feel like if I just put it out there in a general way, you know, what are we watching, and there's all these things, it doesn't pack the punch as if I narrow down and pick something more specific. So if we go to the next slide, what are we watching? I don't think this is even specific. Well, I have a little bit of spiritual antenna in me, and the temperature changed in the room. Come, Lord Jesus. Okay. More specific than this, what's next? Here's what we're watching, a lot of us. 93 out of the top 100 broadcasts. So this isn't getting into streaming. This is like what's showing on TV, the Emmys, the TV shows. 93 of the top 100, I think this is last year, this is a trend that's been going on for a long time, if you look at Nielsen, are football games, NFL football games. I mean, even other sporting events, like just NFL football games. Clearly, America likes NFL football games. Super Bowl's most watched, 16 million viewers per average, primetime games. That is like multiple times a week, at least three, oftentimes more. Okay, so with that, here's with all of this, like, I understand the economy, that advertising is trying to get you to buy stuff, trying to get you to think you need this to be happy, you need this to be secure, you need this to look okay, and so we buy stuff. But it shifted, 20, 30 years ago shifted, and there was a lot more, you need to experience this. You need to go to this place. You need to go to the mall where the roller coasters are. I mean, that's where I grew up. You need to experience things. But now there is a lot of, we just want to keep you watching. The longer you watch, the more advertising money we get. So this is what drives our economics. So why NFL, the watching, has gone way up? What is one of the main reasons for that? If we can go to the next slide, it's this, fantasy sports. 21% of U.S. adults played fantasy sports last year. 80 million Americans play fantasy sports. So that's a lot of people. 71% of players are 18 to 39, and it's more men than women, but it's in a significant way, but it's still a men and women thing. So with that, here's how that works. When I was a kid, Andy, nobody else calls me Andy. Andy, go change the channel. We didn't have remote controls. That's how old I am. Okay, and then, you know, you only have that many options. And so there were only so many games on, and they were only, like, they were on Sunday afternoons or a Monday night. And if it wasn't your team and it was a blowout in the second half, you just walk away. But now, any game, the worst game of the week and a blowout, I might have a player playing. So I'll keep watching all the way. This game has no interest to me except unless I have a player playing. And so as fantasy sports went up, viewership extended, and they're making more money. So now, maybe 10 years ago, I don't think I saw much of, if we can go to the next slide, this. But now that's everywhere. Right? Everywhere. In 2018, states, New Jersey, challenged that you couldn't do the gambling stuff professionally. And they won. And now 39 states have legalized it. And now it went from, if you're watching a game, a sportscaster might occasionally say something like, well, there's some people in Vegas who might have liked that kick. Because you didn't outright talk about it. It was kind of seen as something that was maybe I mean, yeah, to have a put some money on a game with your friends, but to be have a bookie or something was kind of seen as something kind of seedy. It just wasn't seen very well in society as a whole. And they certainly didn't put it out there. But now, you cannot get through a game, a pregame, without every person saying what they're going to put their money on. Why? Well, as people put money on stuff, and now especially playing in betting on things like during the game, is there going to be a first down next? Yes, I can bet on that. I can bet on that. And what happens? Viewership goes up. So who's benefiting from all of this? Well, the sports betting companies are making lots of money. Lots of money. So if you win, you still don't win quite as much because the sports betting money is getting some of that. The sports booking companies, right? They're going up. Sports media companies. Fantasy football. I remember Cliff Charpentier's Fantasy Football Digest that I bought as a high school kid. It's like the only thing I could find on it. Now you have companies, fantasy football, year-round fantasy sports. And by the way, it's not the real scary thing is daily fantasy use. There are people, probably in this room, if it's like an average room in America, where there are people who are betting on something like Japanese basketball during the day because that's all you can do because you bet every day. So I'm not even today going to get into the addictions, the difficulty with society, whether me gambling and winning, if it's really loving my neighbor, if it means that other people who can't afford it are losing. I'm not going to get into any of that except for what I just did. I'm more in what are we watching? And the leagues and franchises of the sports betting companies are going right into the arenas, right into the football stadiums. Did I get to the stat on how much gambling is? I might have skipped that one. You did a good job to skip it. So 22% of U.S. adults have an online sports betting account. 25, so one in every four Americans place a bet. 85 million Americans engage in fantasy sports or sports betting. What are we watching? And does this have us excited about Jesus? Does this have us ready to serve him? Does this have us ready to go love our world, the people that need it most? Is this what is setting, awaking our souls and setting us on fire for the one who came for us, the one who gives life itself? Is this doing it? Now, if we can go to the DraftKings slide, one of the things that I pay attention to is what is the messaging that is coming? Because it is working. So DraftKings, this is their slogan. Crown is yours. Crown is yours. Good. Here's a couple of their phrases that they use. You deserve it all. Right now, this is what they're using if you would go to their website, or at least a week ago. You deserve it all, so DraftKings has it all. Because you deserve it all. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. The action. So in thinking about this, by the way, I did a research paper on sports gambling, so I'm getting a little bit out of it right here. But in thinking about this, I started thinking, what are the messages? Not just DraftKings, but the other sites too. And sports media, even beyond the gambling ones. If you can go to the next slide. The game is life. The game is what you live for. The game is what you organize your schedule around for. The game, so you got to watch Sunday, Monday, Thursday. Well, that's pro, but then there's college, but then there's others. And the commercials are, this is where you feel like you belong. This is where life happens. And of course, the money that you could win, money isn't just vital, it is vitality, it is life itself, it is what so you can win. There's these messages that get us like, so, you know, I remember having little kids and just like watching a game and be like, come on! And them looking up at me, you know, 2 years old, like, man, this must be really important. Because it is to us. The crown is ours. This is what matters. Like, it's funny that I do that, it's also revealing that I do that.
Woo!
For a sports team, do I have that kind of passion for the one who saves my soul? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the author of life. He came that we could have life, life, and more life. He's what life should be all about. And I can know that in my head, but something else can capture my imagination. This last week, I just finished up reading Paralandra. It's The Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis. It's the second book in that. And in this, a person from Earth is on a different planet, and the person on the planet has not fallen. They're like Eve. It's a different planet, different race. They're like Eve, and they're not supposed to spend the night on an island. They could do whatever they want, and this place is unbelievable, and it's like, wow, I actually do want to go to heaven if it's like this. I mean, everything about it is awesome, but then there's also this possessed other creature that is trying to get her to go spend the night on the island. And when he starts saying things like, no, you should do it, no, he's wrong, when he does it frontal, she's just like, no. Like, why would I ever do that? It's like dumb. It'd be dumb. So then what does he do? He starts telling stories. And then he tells another story. And then he tells another story about women and how they got pressed down and how and he starts telling stories. And she, over time, starts changing, starts opening up to it, little by little, story by story. So we watch the commercials and we think, they don't have any effect on us. I mean, it's not just sports. If we can go to that next one. I mean, L'Oreal, because you're worth it, right? You deserve it. You deserve it all. What do we deserve? According to this, according to a holy God, I deserve it all. I mean, Rolex, there's another crown one, right? Crowning achievement. But more in most of our budgets, Burger King. Have it your way. Their newest slogan, you rule. And these stories, watching the commercials, seeing it, just feels like, well, this feels normal. So I don't think the devil says 30 years ago, hey, you should watch football for hours and hours and hours. This is what you should not be able to make it through a few days without checking the lineup. Or who's available, or who's injured. I don't think that's what it is. Instead, it's just little by little, it feels normal. And if you're not a sports fan, I would be surprised if we couldn't find something when we ask the question, what are you watching, that wouldn't have messages like this that aren't messages that help us get ready for Jesus. And life comes from Jesus. It is Christmas time. So the question, whose crown is it? Like, the crown is yours? I obviously, if you start thinking about it, it's like, well, no, of course. I don't think I'm royalty. I don't have any desire to wear a crown. That just doesn't even make sense. And yet, they're spending millions of dollars to figure out what gets us. And this works. There's something about what it symbolizes, that I deserve it, that I'm in charge, that I win, that I'm better than, that I don't know what, that I can do whatever I want. All of that, some of that wrapped up. And the messages, and little by little, we don't even know that we're just going that way, which is why Jesus doesn't just say one time, hey, pay attention. He says, watch, be on your guard, be alert, don't be found sleeping, watch, keep watching, watch and keep watching. All those companies that I showed at the beginning, they're saying, watch and keep watching. And Jesus is saying, watch and keep watching, but they're not saying to watch and keep watching the same thing. We need to have our souls come alive and be awakened to reality, not to fantasy football, not to virtual reality, to ultimate reality, which is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the author of our life, the one who came for us, who redeems us, who loves us, and who says, I've got promises for you to make a difference into eternity. That's it. So if we go to the next slide, we only have two slides left, and I'm landing the plane quickly after the slides. Let earth receive her king. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. He came to that which was his own, but his own would not receive him, it says in John 1. Who will receive him? Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare room. I cannot have enough room if the game is life. And now, hear me. I still watch football. I like football. I'm not saying all of that is evil. I'm just saying that is not king. And we will make things king that aren't king if we don't be intentional about it. And so here are three ways to be intentional about it. Watch on purpose. On purpose. I think, well, wait a minute. I should make you think for a little bit. Why? Why has NFL football and sports gambling and fantasy sports just such a huge trend? Especially in young men. Why? Why is that worth it? I think we need to have a reason for living. You get the same dopamine hit in your brain whether you win or lose a sports bet. But at least you're in on the action. At least you're part of something that's important. And all the messages are like, this is what's important. Meanwhile, people who need the love of God, who need to know they're important and special, we don't have time. People who need to be fed, we don't have time. We don't have money. We don't have that stuff. But the servants are each assigned a task. And we are living on purpose to make him known, who he really is. So we need to know him. And then we need to know, like, everybody can be in on this. What can you do this week to make God known? To bring his goodness, to bring his love? If you live on purpose, he will send his spirit if you ask him to help, and you go. And it might not work out all the way. But you keep at it, it will. We got to live on purpose. Watch and pray. So this is Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus is telling the people who are, they're like, we're with you, Jesus. And they aren't going to be. He said, you got to watch and pray, he says. Because evil's, it's deceitful. It will make you think that the fantasy is real and that the reality is a fantasy when it's the other way around. So watch and pray. And watch with praise. Reminding ourselves who Jesus really is. Speaking it once in a while. Singing it so it's more than just in our heads. It's somehow in our emotions. And if we worship with it, even in our bodies. Like, watch with praise. I got emotional watching the kids up here because do you see some of them just worshiping Jesus? It's like their imaginations have been captured by Jesus. I've watched when kids grow up and their imaginations get captured by Jesus and they keep going with it. And we have an enemy who's trying to capture all the kids' imaginations. And they're seeing and watching and hearing stuff that no little kid should see or hear or watch, but that is just normal now. There is no guardrails now. It's like we're in trouble. And we need a savior. But it's not just little kids whose imaginations are trying to be captured. It's us big kids too. And we need a savior. And the good news of the gospel is that he has come for you, and it's never too late for you, but the time to get ready is now. The time to get ready is not someday, when I get older, when this season is over. It is now. So I'll invite the worship team up, and I'll pray, and we'll do this last one now. We will watch with praise, and we'll invite God to be part of it as we do it. God, we just start by acknowledging that there are a lot of options for idols in our world. There's a lot of images that we can watch and keep watching, and that we watch more than we should watch. So we need help. And if you are real, if you're really who you say you are, then we pray that you would show more of yourself to us, because we must not know you as you really are, because then none of these things would even appeal to us if we could see you as you really were. If we could see ultimate reality. And so we pray, show us more of yourself. Let us know that you're real. Let us know that you're here. Let us know that we matter to you. The truth that's in the Bible, would we know it in our heads and in our hearts? The truth that's from Jesus coming for us, God becoming a human being for us, would we know it and experience it in ways we haven't yet? Every single one of us in this room, and if you want that, if you want to know who God is more, so that you can live on purpose for him more, let him know in your own heart, even right now, I want to know you more. I need to know you more. I need to know I matter. I need to know you have something for me. You can let him know that, and he will respond. I don't know when, but he will respond. Oh God, respond, have mercy on us and respond to the part in our heart that wants you, that wants eternal life, that wants life, life, and more life, the life that happens now. Respond to that. But regardless, no matter how we're feeling today, no matter how much we experience you in this moment or not, we say the truth and the reality, the crown is yours, Jesus. The crown is yours, and anything else is a lie. Anything that tries to get what you only deserve, we say that's a lie. We say the crown is yours. You, the author of life, the king of all things, we say the crown is yours. And we want to live like the crown is yours. That we could experience joy inexpressible, and that we would be contagious with joy for the world you love. So we honor you, God. We bless you, God. We say you are God. And there is no other. And so in this place, for these moments, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, here as it is in heaven. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.